Welcome back to Cana Week, brought to you by New Frontier Data, where we deliver the week's top headlines in cannabis and hear experts weigh in on the impacts these stories are having on the industry. I'm your host, Heather Wickline. My first guest today has 13 years experience in marketing, strategy, ad tech, and he currently serves as Chief Digital Officer and Head of Ad Sales at Enlighten. Please welcome Mr. Sam Hollander. Thanks for being here.
Thanks. How you doing?
Good, good. And our next guest is our in-house expert. He has also a very successful career in ad tech space and currently serves as CEO of New Frontier Data. Please welcome Mr. Gary Allen.
Thank you very much. Sam, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Gary.
Well, we have two experts on, so obviously we're going to be talking a lot about ad tech marketing. But Sam, before we get started, would you mind giving our listeners a little background on Enlighten in case they're not familiar with who you are?
Sure. Enlighten is a digital marketing and digital retail company. We started about 4 years ago as really a digital signage company going around to some of the first dispensaries in the country in Colorado, Washington State, et cetera, and essentially taking traditional retail ecosystems and helping digitize them by way of digital menus, interactive kiosks, and then also a content management platform that educates consumers when they're inside the four walls of the dispensary. Over the course of the last 4 years, that also evolved into an advertising platform, both in the dispensary and out of the dispensary. Outside of the dispensary, we now offer brands and retailers some of the most targeted opportunities on mobile desktop, connected TV, and audio streaming in the cannabis business. And there's also a full suite of attribution solutions as well.
Amazing. Well, we're going to have to get your insights because we're going to start off with this first story. RollingStone.com reported how to educate cannabis consumers through marketing. So the good news is cannabis is gaining a lot of social and legal traction across the U.S. However, navigating the complexities of marketing and consumer education continue to be a major challenge for brands and businesses. So Sam, before we dive in, what are some misconceptions about cannabis consumers and marketing that we can debunk?
Yeah, I think the two biggest ones that frequently come up, or at least they're frequently thought about, is one that from a digital marketing perspective, if you're not advertising on Facebook or Google, you can't advertise. That's totally false. You know, there's a myriad of different platforms that have popped up over the last few years, including Enlighten, that allow cannabis advertisers and retailers to reach their target audiences effectively and with efficiency. The same way that you would with Google and Facebook or any other major ad tech platform. And I think the second, tying really into the Rolling Stone article, is the kind of stereotypical cannabis consumer, if you will. Everybody thinks that the cannabis consumer is, you know, this guy or woman that, you know, sits on a couch and is a stoner and lazy. And that's really not accurate. In fact, the cannabis consumer ranges multi-generational at this point, really from the Gen Z all the way through to the baby boomer generation. And in fact, cannabis is consumed for a myriad of different reasons, ranging from sleep and anxiety to a recent article that just came out by Time Magazine about using cannabis for health and fitness.
Nice. Gary, any to add to those?
Yeah. Nice thing about having experts on our podcast when we do is that, you know, there's going to be a lot of head shaking and a lot of agreement between us. And Sam, thank you for that. I truly believe that the latter that Sam brought up is probably the single biggest misconception of cannabis consumers. Cannabis consumers are not stoners. Only about 15% of the cannabis consumer would fall into that stereotypical description of a stoner. The largest groups range from women 35 to 50 years old, and then seniors 55 and older. And as Sam said, you know, the reasons are also quite varied. The nice thing, though, about the deep understanding that companies like Enlighten bring to the marketplace is that very wide swath of consumers, both gender and demographic, do also have, that they all kind of fall into an archetype or a profile. And so they are easily identified, right? This is, they're no longer, it's no longer a mystery. And I think the second that I would bring up, maybe it's just an extension of what Sam was saying, but digital marketing itself should bring a lot of comfort to brands and to products because of the targeting capabilities, of the profiling capabilities, of the geo-targeting capabilities. It really, technology demystifies this idea, as Sam said earlier, that you can't advertise. And also, and lastly, I'll just extend, advertising and marketing are two completely different things. And this, it's no more more apparent when it comes to a cannabis consumer. You know, advertising flower on a billboard is highly regulated. It's only allowed in a very few places. However, when you grab the consumer's attention in a place that is safe for that advertising, such as the four walls of a dispensary or the mobile application, in the mobile environment that they're in, because we know exactly what their location is at that point, advertising actually becomes more about brand building and brand advocates than it becomes about worrying about regulation and worrying about compliance.
Well, that leads me to my next question, I guess, for Sam. In this restricted market, like Gary was just saying, how can tech-enabled solutions help businesses make the right choice and target their consumers?
Yeah, I think Gary brought up a lot of good points.
You know, I had to get them in there quick, Sam, until you did. You know what I mean? I just want to make sure we have an even, you know, counting at the end of this.
it's all good, but that's, we're going off of each other, right? I think Gary mentioned before geo-targeting, and in the cannabis space, given all the regulations around what you can and you can't do, having those capabilities becomes even more important to be able to accurately identify and understand who a cannabis consumer is, e.g. using specific mapping technology as an example to understand consumer visitation for various different dispensaries. Having more targeted campaigns, leveraging different data sources like some of the data sources that New Frontier has access to, working with strategic partners like point of sale companies and e-commerce companies to understand consumption patterns and to create those archetypes, as Gary was mentioning earlier, to firmly identify who your consumer is. The beauty of digital technology is you can be really targeted, right? So if you have a pet product and you're a pet brand and you want to target consumers who own pets, that's the beauty of digital technology. You can not just target a cannabis audience based on consumption data, geolocation data, contextual data. You can also layer on other data sources to make sure that you're targeting pet owners as well. So I think, you know, that's the type of strategy that advertisers need to be thinking about and working with their technology partners to, activate effective advertising campaigns that provide unique data and actionable data so that you can continue to refine that strategy and grow your business and your brand over time, which again is what Gary mentioned earlier. It's really an excellent tool for building your brand, not just that lower funnel activity that a lot of times ad tech platforms get bucketed into.
Right. At this stage in the cannabis industry, how important would you say brand loyalty is right now?
I think we're getting there in the cannabis industry. It's drastically different than, you know, say the airline industry or the retail industry, although a lot of people may make comparisons to the retail industry. And I think the reason that it's not necessarily mature has nothing to do with the fact that retailers don't effectively get consumers in their doors to sign up for their loyalty programs via incentives, et cetera. It's more about what that loyalty actually means, right? Mm-hmm. And there are different types of consumers, and really to generate that loyalty over time, at least in my mind, I'm of the opinion there's kind of three buckets that that falls into. One is kind of leveraging that data, as we've been talking about throughout the conversation, to understand who your consumer is. Two, making sure that you are effectively using that data to drive people into your store. And then once they're in there, it's about how you stand above the clutter, right? The unique experience that you as a retailer or a brand provides in that retail environment. Are the bud tenders engaging with your clients? If you're a brand, do the bud tenders know about the unique value prop of your brand and how to effectively sell that? All of those types of things, you know, retailers and brands should really be thinking of the retail environment as an extension of their wholesale tool, right? It doesn't stop once you create that wholesale relationship. Once you're in that environment, those bud tenders and the people that are selling your products need to be educated on what the value of your product is and why it's valuable to the consumer. And ultimately, that's what's going to increase your loyalty, that education, that unique experience that you have when you walk into that retail environment, et cetera. And advertising and data are really what become kind of the core foundation to get people into that retail environment and using that mechanism to have that as an entry point to educate your consumers on that value proposition.
Yeah, I, Sam, I really think it's an important, it's important that we talk about consumer education. There's a couple of things. One, just like every other retail vertical, I think if there were a kind of third misconception to debunk, is that cannabis retail is different than any other retail. Cannabis retail is retail. And what that means is that as an emerging market, right? I don't think we're still nascent, but as an emerging market, we have to first understand that we have to establish that there is retail need. Okay. We've established that. There was a little over $20 billion worth of retail last year. So what do you do with that information? The first thing that we have to understand is that loyalty right now is about consumer education. What we have found with the cannabis consumer, just like with the clothing consumer, just like with automotive or alcohol, the majority of the consumers are value consumers, right? And so if we know that and we operate as a market where everybody has that information, then we can really work on that education piece. How do you build your brand? How do you differentiate yourself? You know, at the retail location, making sure, as Sam mentioned, making sure that brands and product manufacturers educate the bud tenders and the bud tenders educate the consumers. It's all about education. And the extension of that education is also the introduction. And so this market at $20 billion, it's some of the research that we have done and some of the multiple data points that we bring together suggest that about 25% market share is your largest market share of any operator in any market across the nation, which means there's 75% or more white space, right? There's also the tens of millions of consumers that are interested but are not yet in the industry. And so we're at a point now where loyalty is really, really will start at the beginning with the education. And that's kind of, you're thinking of loyalty, and even in the first introduction to the consumer is going to be one of the differentiators for the retail operators and the loyalty companies on who wins.
Yeah, and I think to add to that a little bit more, you know, the education is extremely important, especially in an industry where there is stigma around the cannabis plant. And, you know, there's also education that needs to happen about the value, the various different benefits of that plant. However, in addition to education, I do also see the industry evolving towards more of a brand affinity and brand development, very similar.
Yeah, absolutely.
industry, you know, as that education continues to take place. But that brand building in my mind is going to come in the shape of two different forms. One, major consolidation is going to happen, or continue to happen, I should say, over the next few years. I mean, we're already seeing it with the acquisition of Harvest, as well as a number of other brands in the tech space. You're seeing Dutchy acquire Greenbits and Leaf Logics, so on and so forth. And then, you know, from a brand building perspective, you know, there's a number of new markets that have come online. My hometown, New York, is one of them. And I personally think, given that New York is really the branding and advertising capital of the world, that that is going to have a major, major impact on how major multi-state operators, vertically integrated operators, start to perceive and understand the market and start to target their consumers. And we're already seeing that with with numerous different brands. You know, Select does it very well. That's Curaleaf, obviously. You know, they just released a product called Select Squeeze about a month and a half ago. It's a very small little product, but the idea is it's a soluble, and you can like drop it in your drink. The packaging is pretty sleek and you can hide it. So I think that's going to have a lot of consumer adoption. Holistic Industries with their Jerry Garcia's Handpicked has been very widely received very well. And they've done a great job with the packaging there. So I think you're going to continue to see a lot of that evolve as well.
No, I was reading an article too about Columbia Care opening up a ton of, you know, new locations under cannabis, and they're going for their retail location is going for this kind of Starbucks, you know, meets Apple Genius Bar, where they can actually educate the customer and have like events where they feature a product or feature something to just help educate the market. So I think it's really, really cool. It seems like that's the direction everyone's going in.
I agree. And I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry. I mean,
no.
From a retail perspective, I personally think that, you know, what Columbia Care is doing is great, but a lot of the major multi-state operators are replicating that or tried to start doing that over the last few years. I mean, MedMen really addressed that, was the first major cannabis company to do that in creating kind of that sleek Apple-like environment when you walk into the dispensary.
Well, and I think that's also a reflection of the maturation of our understanding of the consumer, right? When the cannabis industry started, you know, in earnest, you know, 6 years, 7 years ago now, the original idea was that, you know, there bud tenders were going to have to be sommeliers. There was going to have to be this really deep understanding of strains and strain efficacy. And I think what we've learned over the last 7 years is that while there is a huge market for that, right, just as there is a huge market for the Apple-like experience in the Genius Bar or Starbucks-like experience in the coffee bar, there will have to be that in the cannabis industry. However, there are still tens of millions of consumers out there that just want to consume. They want to find the brand and the delivery method that works for them and that they can expect the outcome that they want from it. And once they do, they're going to lock and load and stay there. And so the MSOs, just like, you know, McDonald's went through this, you know, the QSR companies went through these, they're going to have a number of different brand engagements and brand experiences to connect with a very large portion of the consumer base.
Great.
Yep. Well, Sam, we've touched on this a lot with the complicated regulations, but what would your advice be to new players in the cannabis like industry coming in that want to reach their target customers, and what advice would you give to them?
Yeah, I think there's a number of different things you have to think about. You know, cannabis is obviously not legal in 50 states yet. It's legal, I think, in about 44 of them, medicinally and recreational. You know, we talked about New York. We talked about some of the new states coming online earlier this year, North Dakota, North Carolina or South Carolina, I forget, which is a big one, obviously, given that's below the Mason-Dixon line. You know, but I think things will continue to evolve. But in terms of kind of thinking about a, if you want to quote, national strategy, while there's really not a national strategy because of the restrictions and you have to think of everything at a state level, there is still an opportunity to build your brand. And you can do that with a full omni-channel strategy, right? And what I mean by that is if you're a marketer or you're developing a brand or you're looking to develop a new product, it kind of, it starts from the beginning. You need to sit in a room and with that product and how you're developing that product, you need to understand who your consumer base is. From that consumer base, that's how you develop your packaging and that's how you develop your go-to-market strategy. It should not be this spray and pray approach. If you understand who your consumer is, that will allow you to go out and have a targeted and tactful approach across the country in various different markets where cannabis is legal, both medicinally and recreationally, to target that consumer, not just on digital, but also in traditional media forms, experiential and things of that nature as well. And that's really how you should be thinking about it. And taking that one step further, and it ties in a lot to what we've been talking about today, making sure that you have a strategy to capture consumer data. Because you may think you know who your consumer is. And like I said earlier, you should have an idea of who your consumer is going out. But the people that are coming in and buying that product might be someone totally different. And if that is the case, your data needs to tell you that so you can quickly refine that strategy and start to identify who that audience is and continue that brand building story and leveraging the various different platforms that we've discussed to go out and really target that audience effectively so that you can continue to drive new customer acquisition.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think further to that, one of the pieces of advice I would give are kind of two things. One, and I say this, and I've been saying this for 5 years now, but THC and CBD are not marketing schemes, right? Simply having THC or CBD on your packaging no longer works. And I think, so that's the first thing. And I think what Sam was saying is it rings very true in understanding the consumer, right? And data is the only way to do that. The good thing, the great thing about the opportunities we have in this industry is that we've been doing digital marketing in the world for the last 30 years, right? And it's evolved. So there's no reason, don't be afraid to use that evolution and use all of that learning and shorten your own retail learning curve. There's no reason for you to go out in a bare knuckle boxing match over traffic when there are a number of services available to you and ways available to the retailer to understand that consumer. Anywhere from just population understanding around the dispensary when you're first getting the license, understanding the types of products that the consumers that live around your dispensary actually consume. And I'm not talking about just cannabis products. I'm talking about a Whole Foods. I'm talking about BMWs. I'm talking about, you know, Taco Bell, whatever that may be. Understanding the interest level, the interest and the level of interest and the affinities that those consumers already have will go a long way in you understanding and the retailer understanding, you know, the experience that those consumers that live around them expect from the retail shops around them. And it's, I think the advice in all of this is don't be afraid to be a mature retailer.
Yeah. And I think it's important to identify exactly what Gary said, right? It's, even if you have your brand, the consumer in Los Angeles, California versus the consumer in Detroit, Michigan versus the consumer in Boston, Massachusetts are three drastically different consumers. Yeah. So you may have one product that may be of interest to all three of those different consumers, but you have to think about marketing to each one of them differently. And that's really something that they need to be thinking about.
Right. Well, thank you. All right. Well, before we head out, any final thoughts on the future of the cannabis industry?
Yeah, it's funny. My wife's family is in DC and is friends with a number of different people on Capitol Hill. And we were just there over the weekend. My mother-in-law is actually moving, so we're helping her. Being the good son-in-law that I am, I was helping her move out of her house. But I happened to run into a family friend down there who's a lobbyist on Capitol Hill. So we got into talking about decriminalization and federal and all of that type of stuff. And I'm pretty confident in saying that federal legalization is not going to happen this year. As much as we might all want to get our hopes up that, you know, Biden might push for that with all of the kind of check boxes that he could mark off next to his name. But I do think that there'll be some form of decriminalization later this year, which is going to open up the floodgates, especially in the advertising and marketing world. Yeah. Because I don't know about interstate commerce, but it will make consumers and brands a lot more comfortable with the plant, with the industry. And then businesses, I think it'll make them more comfortable with data sharing, which is becoming increasingly more important, especially with Apple's changes that happened a few weeks ago with the IDFA and the impending cookie depreciation with Google Chrome, you know, and having a more targeted approach to campaigns and marketing efforts. So I think that's kind of what's going to happen. And I also think that should and if the Safe Banking Act pass, that will also be the other major event that will transform this industry, all of a sudden allowing major businesses to take credit cards and, you know, all of that type of stuff. I think those two things are going to open up the floodgates for this industry from potentially major broadcast companies becoming more interested, some of the larger platforms becoming more interested, so on and so forth. And that obviously helps with the stigma and, you know, allows the industry to continue to mature.
Gary, his final thoughts were awesome. Do you have anything to add? Did he touch on everything?
Sammy really did. I think the one thing I will add, I completely agree, by the way, Sam, that the federal legalization is most likely not going to happen this year. I do believe that some form of the Safe Banking Act will pass and will at least, I don't know that it'll be enacted, but it will pass. And it will have a major effect on the stigma of the industry from industry in at large. And I think what we'll see and what we should see is that, listen, our jobs in the industry, especially if we're talking about consumers, if we're talking about marketing, we're talking about retailing, our jobs is really to continue to engage our consumers, act smartly, right? Obviously act legally, and really boost the market by increasing the consumer acceptance and increasing the positive consumer interaction with cannabis. And the political environment will take care of itself. It absolutely will. At the end of the day, we are still a capitalist country, right? And when this consumer market throws itself up over $25-30 billion, and banking opens up and the banks realize that cannabis companies have been spending 30-40% sometimes on money, and they can bring in money that we believe is cheap at 10%, and they can make three times what they're making on every other industry, the money is going to flow. And therefore, political activity is going to flow, legalization, decriminalization, all of that stuff is going to flow. Our job right now is to continue to focus on the consumer, continue to make that retail environment efficient and interactive for that consumer. And the capitalism, believe me, will take care of us.
Anything to add, Sam?
I think Gary hit it on the nose. I mean, when the government sees the tax dollars, everything will fall in place.
All right. Well, we'll keep watching, making sure it happens. Thank you guys both for joining us. And thank you for our listeners. Please be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. Hit the notification bell. And if you really like us, give us 5 stars. And also, we just rolled out our new and improved Equio, which is our cannabis intelligence platform. If you are not a member, sign up for a free week at equio.newfrontierdata.com. I'm your host, Heather Wicklund, and I will see you next time.
New Frontier Data provides this podcast for entertainment purposes only. Nothing stated in this podcast should be taken as legal or financial advice. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by the company. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Views and opinions expressed by New Frontier Data employees are those of the employees and do not necessarily reflect the view of the company or any of its officials. If you have any questions about this disclaimer, please contact our legal department.